Praise the Lord. Well done. Awesome. See what happens when you give a woman a microphone. See how dangerous it is. Next, they'll be wanting the vote and a wardrobe of their own and things like that. Well done. Praise the Lord. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 12. Oh, no, it's Genesis chapter 14, isn't it? Sorry. Genesis chapter 14. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our teacher. You're the one who brings truth to our hearts. We worship you now. We rely on you. We depend on you. We adore you. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us today. We consciously, deliberately open our hearts to you now. Come and speak to us, shape us, change us, bless us, meet with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Genesis chapter 14. At this time, Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, Kedor Lamordadur, who named these people? Oh, can their parents take responsibility for this? Didn't they realize they were going to be in the Bible one day? And we'd have to read the names. Okay, just jump down to verse... to verse 11. Verse 11. Let me just tell you what's happening, then we'll continue from verse 11. It's basically, they're having a battle, a bunch of kings, five against four, in the valley where the Dead Sea is today. There was lots of different cities. Every city had its own king, like a warlord of its own. The king who was the most powerful ran the other cities and taxed them. This king had been in charge of them for about 14 years. And the king of Sodom and Gomorrah, anyone heard of that? And do you remember who was living in Sodom? Lot, Abraham's nephew, decided to go and live in Lot, chose the city life, chose the easy life, chose the worldly life. Abraham stayed in his tent up in the hills with the Lord. Lot chose something else and cost him bitterly. But anyway, he's in one of these cities. And the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah rebelled against this other king who was taxing them. So they're having a war. The war's about money. It's a war about money. Most wars are. And in this war with money, this is what's happening. Five kings against four, with incredibly complicated names. Coming in verse 11, it says, the four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food, and they went away. They also carried off Abram's nephew, Lot, and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. One who had escaped and reported this to Abram the Hebrew. Now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Anar, all of whom were allied with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abraham divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and all the other people. After Abram returned from defeating Kedar Laomim and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley that is the valley of the kings. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, that's Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram and said, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the people and keep all the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I've raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and I've taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Anar and Eshcol and Mamre. Let them have their share. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your great reward. This morning I want to speak to you about the wealth of Abraham and how to receive God's blessing in our own life in terms of wealth and money. Does anyone feel the need for some money sometimes? Anyone feel the need for God's blessing to help you do the right thing with your money so that you are looked after, blessed, cared for, and generous, and kind, and all things go well with you? Would you like a bit of that? Okay, well, it's very practical this morning. There's certain things. If you want to serve God, if you want to follow Jesus, you want to be used by God, money is very, very, very important. In this story is all to do with money. There is the world warring with money. Then there's Abraham, who's spending his money. This trip, this call of God, has taken Abraham out of somewhere very affluent and secure for him. He lived in a city, with a developed city, with a house and lots of property. Now he's up. He's following visions and dreams. He's following the voice of the Lord. He's living in a tent. He's traveling with his family and his close relatives and his servants in tents. Now they're nomads, following the Lord, going to a land that he will show us. And have we arrived yet? Well, sort of, yeah. Well, when are we going to build the city? Actually, never. Never. Can we go back to... No. We're choosing to be pilgrims now. We're living for something beyond this world. We're walking with God. That's an amazing call, but it's costing him money and he's concerned. It's costing him more and more. Who do you think's feeding these people as they travel along? Oh, it's coming out of Abraham's pocket. Who do you think's feeding them? He's feeding them from his own flocks that are reducing. He's traveling. He's not farming. He's not trading. He's traveling all the time. And it's costing him a lot of money. And then he has to go to war. He has to gather men. And in a massive, brave step, with only 318 men, goes against four major kings and their armies one night and attacks them in a massively brave attack. And everything's just costing him money. And he wins, and he has the opportunity to make worldly money at that point. The kings were very pleased that he'd chased these other kings and brought back all their goods and their women and their children that they were going to take as slaves. Abraham brings them back, and the king of Sodom says to him, you can keep all the stuff. And Abraham, bless him, it's a brave thing to do when you're offered money by the world. And the Lord says to you, don't touch it. It's a brave thing to do. And he's offered money by the world. He's offered money by serious sinners. The king of Sodom is offering him money. And he says, no chance. I am not. He might have been shaking in his boots financially, as you do sometimes when you follow God. But he's doing the right thing. And he says, no chance. I'm not going to take a penny from you. You so that you could never say, I made Abraham rich. And he can be very brave there, but then when he's on his own in his tent, he's thinking, Lord, this is costing me a fortune. But then the Lord speaks, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your reward. Or another version says, your reward will be very great. I'll bless you. I'll make you wealthy, but it'll be kingdom wealth. If you'd like to be blessed in your finances with God, there's several things you need. The first thing you need to do is let go of your own wealth. That's what Abraham was willing to do at the beginning. He let go of his own wealth. And seriously, if you want to be free from money, free from the fear of money, free from the love of money, which is how the world lives, money is a god, a false god, that people worship. They treat it like God. Money will protect me. Help me, money. If only I had enough money. We believe many lies about money. Many, many lies that have been sowed into us since we were children. From every Hollywood movie you've ever watched, and every magazine you've ever read, and every newspaper, all tells you the same thing. That if you have more money, you'll be happy. That's not true. If you have more money, things will go well with me. That's a lie. That's not necessarily true at all. If I have money, I'll be secure. No, you won't. If I win the lottery, all my problems will be over. No, they won't. It's just not true. Money is a false god who can't actually look after you in the long run. Money can't heal you when you're sick. Money can't bring you joy when you're depressed. Money can't give you eternal life because it's a false god. And Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. You have to choose which. You'll either love one and despise the other. The word despise means think very little of the other. Or you'll be devoted to one and hate the other. That's what Jesus said about wealth. If you want to be free from the fear of money, you have to be willing to let go of it. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a man who finds treasure in a field. And he's totally excited that he's found this amazing treasure. So after he's found it, he covers it up quickly, goes away, sells everything he has, and buys that field. Everyone who sees him thinks he's thick. His relatives hear about him and think he's gone around the bend. He's sold everything he had and he's bought that field. They're looking at him. That field, they could only see the field. They can't see what he can see. They don't know what he knows. That underneath his feet, in that field, there is amazing treasure. That's the kingdom of God. That's how you enter the kingdom. That's how you walk with Jesus. And that's how you receive the blessing of God in your life. What you need isn't money. What you need is God who can provide you with money. What you need is God who gives you everything, more than money. Joy, peace, marriage that works, family that stays together, vision, hope, satisfaction, healing. You need all that. Forgiveness, salvation, and money. You get all that with God. You can either have just money, worldly wealth, or you can have the kingdom of God. And that man who lives in that field knows that by faith and prayer, he can access that treasure. And bless himself, and bless his family, and bless the world, and extend the kingdom of God, and feed the poor through faith and prayer. Brothers and sisters, you stood on an amazing treasure this morning. It's just under your feet. If you've bought the kingdom of God, if you've sold everything and bought the kingdom, then you've definitely got amazing treasure under your feet, resources. You don't have to live poor or think you're poor because you're not. You have God Almighty who's promised to bless you and look after you as you seek him. Barnabas was someone who saw the kingdom of God and did this very thing. That's why he got named Son of Encouragement. Such an encouragement to the apostles. These young guys who were full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, and proved it with their money. Because Barnabas had some wealth. He had some land. It doesn't tell you how much land, but that's an inheritance. That's significant. It was probably left to him off his dad, his relatives. Maybe it'd been his family for years. It was precious. Land was very precious. And Barnabas went and sold this land, got the money, and brought the money. Because he saw the kingdom of God. He saw the apostles preaching and healing. He saw the Holy Spirit moving. And he thought, I want that. That's what I want. I want the kingdom. And he was moved to give. So he sold his inheritance, his land. He brought the money. He didn't even distribute it himself. Money's a control issue, isn't it? I'll sell it, but I'll decide where I give it. And thank you, Barnabas. You're welcome. Thank you, Barnabas. He didn't even do that. He was so free from his money, free from the fear of it, free from the love of it, that he sold his field and he brought the money and just trusted the church leaders with it, gave it to the apostles. They said, well, what an encouragement this guy is. We're going to call you Mr. Encouragement. You're a real encouragement to us. Suddenly the apostles were handling all this wealth. They'd never handled wealth before. Are you ready to handle some wealth? Are you going to get ready to be able to handle some wealth in your life? Some kingdom wealth from God. Can you be trusted with the wealth of the kingdom? To bless others, to help others, to receive it gratefully, to not let it touch your heart, to not let it change you as worldly wealth does, takes you down. This is what God says in the Bible. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth and he adds no trouble to it. No trouble to it. Worldly wealth comes with a heap load of trouble. But when God gives you his wealth, there's no trouble in it. You're just blessed. You don't have to fear money. Abraham was being very brave, living in a tent. If you fear the false god of money, you can never really serve God. Honestly, you can only go so far. Because the bank can't decide. God tells you to do something. What, you check your bank account to see if you can do it? Poof, we wouldn't have got very far. I'll just check the bank. No, sorry, Lord, we can't do that. Oh, that isn't how the kingdom works. No, you have to have God as your God and believe that all the resources that you'll ever need are an ask, a seek, and a knock away, as Ian said. And believe that right under my feet, though it's invisible to me even, and to everyone around me, just looks like I'm in a field. But I'm not in a field. I'm in Christ Jesus. Looks like you just sat in church this morning, but you're not just sat in church this morning if you're a believer. That's what Darren just preached. You're sat at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus, invisibly. That's where you're sat. That means you can reign over everything in your life. You have tremendous authority over your family, over your work, over your own body, over sickness, over the devil. You sit in a place of absolute reigning and ruling in Jesus Christ. That's actually a fact. And again, through prayer and faith, you access those realities and you're able to exercise that real authority in your life. Would you like to live a blessed life? Would you? So would I. A blessed life is a life with God. Do you know, here's what I believe. If we give you an opportunity to be saved this morning, that's the best thing of all. Going to heaven, salvation, being born again, is the most important thing. Many people have been saved here, but aren't in the church yet. Many people come to the front. They hear the gospel about Jesus. They want to be forgiven. They are sorry for their sins. They want to go to heaven. They fear judgment. They fear hell. They want to get right with God. That's a wise thing to do. Get right with God. Do it. Do it now. Come and be born again. Come and be saved. Many people have come and stood here, wept, cried, met Jesus, and gone out the door. And sometimes we don't see them very much. They'll come for a few weeks. Some people say to me, where are they now? I don't know. But if you ask me this, where are they going? I'll tell you, heaven. Oh, definitely. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. The gospel's real. Salvation is real. They walk out the door with heaven. What they don't realize often is unless you stay with the people of God, you don't experience the full blessing of God in your life. They're going out the door with a ticket to heaven, which is very valuable. But do you know there's other stuff as well? Do you know there's health while you're on earth? Do you know there's relationships restored in your family? Do you know there's wealth from God to bless you and stop you living under a curse? You can go and live a naff life if you want and go to heaven. Or You can stick around and get the full package, the blessed life. You can be healed of life's hurts. You can be delivered of everything that's ever happened to you. You can become strong and know God and walk with God. That's what I want. I've been going to heaven since I was 17, punk rocker. I went to the cross when I was 17 years old. I was born again. I've been going to heaven since then, but I've been experiencing more of heaven in my life every year as I've walked with God and known God and had adventures with God. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, let go of your wealth so that God can give you his. Let go of your own wealth, your fear of money, losing money, and God will open wide your mouth and God will fill it and absolutely bless you. There was a rich young man one day, came to see Jesus. Rich, good lad, kept the commandments as much as he knew how. The scriptures say Jesus loved him. And he was a bit like Barnabas. He saw the field. He saw the kingdom. He saw Jesus healing people. He heard Jesus teaching. He said, I've always loved God. That's what I want. That's what I want. Jesus, what must I do to experience eternal life? Can I be in your gang? Can I be in your gang? And you know what Jesus always says to that kind of question? Of course you can, mate. Absolutely brilliant. Well, what should I do? Easy. First of all, clear the decks. Go and sell everything you've got and give the money to the poor, okay? Get rid of your wealth. Huh? Yeah, just clear the decks. You see all these lads who are with me? They've all cleared the decks. You see Matthew, he was a tax collector. I called him. He dropped his job instantly and followed me. He's never been back. You see these lads, they had their own fishing business. They were fishermen. Their dads were fishermen. Their granddads were fishermen. But the day I called them and gave them my vision and dream for their life, you're not just going to be catching fish. You're going to be catching men from now on. I changed the vision and dream of their life. They believed it. They left that business on the spot. And that's why they're on my team. Would you really like to be on my team? Just tell me again what I need to do. Sell everything you've got. Give it to the poor. And then come, follow me. And you'll have treasure in heaven. Can you hear this? This is out received. Jesus never said he was going to live poor. He just said, get poor and we'll start from there. If you can't get poor for Jesus, you can't get rich, I'm telling you. If you can't let go of your wealth, don't expect to receive more, because he's pouring it on a bad foundation. You give everything to Jesus first. Let him empty everything and clear the decks, and then he'll build your life and make you very rich. These apostles were handling incredible wealth. People were bringing money to their feet. Didn't touch their hearts. Didn't move them. They knew what true treasure was. But they were handling incredible wealth for the benefit of others. I believe God wants to do that with this church. I believe God wants to do that with your life. You can get in on this. You can be personally blessed as well as you're free from the fear of money and the love of money by letting go of your own wealth. I once stayed at the house of a lovely Indian family. Several times I've stayed there. I mean, if you were talking about rich, these people were rich. They had lovely cars outside. They had beautiful houses in a beautiful compound with fantastic trees. Outside the compound was like hell. It was on the edge of one of the worst slums in Secunderabad. But in their compound, it was like heaven. They had a Bible school there, painted white, all beautiful. They had a 2,000-seater auditorium for the church. They had a school where they educate, free of charge, 400 children. Beautiful little Indian children in white shirts and little red. Indians always look good in white. It's the tan. Beautiful white shirts and little red ties and little red dresses. Absolutely immaculate. 400 beautiful little children, educated, free of charge, from the wealth of this family. They called the Babu family. They blessed the whole community. Every Thursday night, they go out with truckloads of high-quality rice. I've been with them. I preached in the slum. And they go right into the worst of the worst slums and feed everyone and love everyone and preach the gospel and heal them. Mighty miracles happen in this church over and over again. Many, many people are healed of life-threatening diseases as they step onto the compound. As they walk through the big double gates, they're healed instantly by the presence of God. Hundreds have been healed like that. People get delivered of demons there. Would you say they're rich? Oh, I'd say they're very rich. They have beautiful family life, beautiful family life. The brothers and sisters live together, in the same compound. They have their own houses. But they come over and, oh, look, my wife's just made this awesome curry. Try this. It's awesome. Tell her to bring it over. And they just have community and they live together. They're pretty rich. They didn't start rich. They started very poor. Well, actually, they started worldly rich. Because John Babu, the dad, who's gone to heaven now, was the chief inspector of police for Hyderabad City. He had plenty of money, and you need money to survive in India. He had plenty of money, and they were blessed. That's where they were in the scheme of things. But he had a problem. He was dying of alcoholism. He'd pickled his liver through alcohol, and his doctor said to him, "You have 3 months to live." John started to go to the Hindu temples, begging the 3 million Indian gods to heal him. Is there anyone there? Is there anyone there who'll heal me? Jesus spoke to him in a Hindu temple, how dare he? And said, "I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I will heal you and you will serve me." He was so shocked that he'd heard a voice. He staggered outside this temple and sat. I've seen the bench, sat on the bench on one of the main streets in Hyderabad. Just shocked. And the voice was still there, spoke to him again. "I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I will heal you and you will serve me." And in his honesty and foolishness, he said, "What will happen if I don't follow you? He said, "You'll die and go to hell." He said, "Okay, I think I'll serve you then and follow you." He was instantly healed of alcoholism and liver damage on the bench. God said to him, "You will serve me. Leave your job. You're serving me." Hey, that's a big thing to do. He's got a job, a good job in India. You don't let go of that. But he did. He convinced his wife and little kids then, Prem and Raju and all those guys, only tiny little kids. And he convinced them to leave the job and start to live by faith and follow Jesus. They had absolutely nothing. Nothing. And he was desperate, cried out to God, "We're going to starve. We're going to die. You said I'd serve you. Show me what to do. Show me what to do." And then someone who had pity on them saw they were living on the street. Went for a fantastic house living on the street. You see, what were they doing? They were clearing the decks. Clearing the decks. But the decks are cleared. And they're on the street, and someone said to them, "Why don't you go and live in that haunted house on the edge of the slum in Secunderabad, which is their beautiful home today?" And John said, and he's been reading his Bible, he said, "Yeah, well, maybe we'll cast these demons out of this house." So they went to that house, a house where I've slept many nights. Beautiful house, presence of God there. And the first night, the kids were getting dragged out of the bed by their hair, by these evil spirits, ghosts and demons. And they were screaming, "Aah!" So John and his wife stood against these demons in the name of Jesus and cast them out of this bedroom, and out of that bedroom, and out of this, and out of the compound. They claimed the compound for Jesus Christ and for God. And they started. They had somewhere to live. No one would dare live in this house. It was so haunted. Now it was their own free compound given by God. They kicked the demons out and it was peaceful. But they had nothing. Nothing. They were starting a church, praying, trying to start a church. Several times God provided for them like this. Ravens, you can think of this what you want, but it's a fact. I know this family. Ravens flew down into the compound and spat rupees, notes, out of their mouths. And they opened the notes and went and were able to buy rice and survive. Several times that happened. They'd be crying out to God, God, you fed Elijah with the ravens. Help us. Ravens would come. I mean, phenomenal. And then people began to get saved, and people began, and they found out about divine healing and started to pray for the sick. And the more sick people got healed, the more people came to church, more people got saved, and they taught the people about giving and tithing and giving to the Lord and giving to the Lord. And the people started to get blessed, and they started to get blessed. More and more wealth, more and more wealth. And they opened a school and opened a Bible college. John Babu planted 500 churches in the state of Andhra Pradesh. Awesome. It's the kingdom of God. Would you like God's wealth? It's a challenge to get it. First of all, you've got to be willing. Not everyone has to do that. But you need to be willing to clear the decks by letting go of your wealth so you can be truly blessed. Secondly, be content with what you have. Be thankful and do not covet what anyone else has. If you want to be blessed by God financially, you can be, but you cannot be greedy. You cannot love money. Don't feed it, but don't love it. Don't want what other people have. God said in the Ten Commandments, do not covet. Don't want your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's car, your neighbor's house. Don't compete and compare. Don't do that. Look at your own life and look at me. Want what I've got for you. Come to me. Stop looking at each other. Or you'll never be blessed. God said what do you say to who? I forgot. Anyway, can be important. Abraham, it says in Hebrews that Abraham had the opportunity to go back if they wanted. You know that? They weren't looking for a city. They weren't looking to build Jerusalem. In one sense, they weren't looking for the land of Israel. They were in the land of Israel. They were in, traveling like nomads. But it says in Hebrews, listen, if they'd wanted to go back to city life, they had the opportunity, but they refused to because they saw another city. Their eyes were on that city, the new Jerusalem, the kingdom of God, the new heaven and the new earth. So they were willing to give up wealth on this earth. Abraham went from being very wealthy, but he always lived in a tent. He was blessed, but he was content to live in a tent. Lot went for the city. Abraham, content to stay in his tent. God kept speaking to him, meeting with him, using him, blessing him. He received incredible wealth, but didn't start building palaces and houses or cities. No, he stayed free from it. That's what it is to be truly, truly blessed. Be content with what you've got and be thankful. Do you know you're among the richest people on the planet? You know that, don't you? Most people struggle to get food. Most people struggle to get a nice home, a car. You have those things on a plate just because you're in the West. Be thankful. Be thankful. And as you reach out for God's wealth, be utterly determined to bless the world with it, to honor the poor, to bless the world, to bring the gospel to those who haven't got it. And then it will be God's wealth that flows to you. And it won't be selfish. Be content. Be thankful. The kingdom of God is not built on money. The kingdom of God is not built on money. It's built on faith and prayer and the Holy Spirit's presence. The church isn't built on money. The church needs more money. The church will use plenty of money, but it's not built on money. It's not a business. The church is built on the presence of the Holy Spirit, the gospel, prayer and faith. If you have prayer and faith, you'll have money. All right. Money will come. But if you don't, you'll only have money. And it'll never work for you because it won't be blessed. You be content and don't be greedy, and God will bless you. And lastly, put God first with your wealth. Abraham was spending his money, feeling the cost of it, and as he turned to leave this battlefield of success, he meets this awesome figure that you can read about in Hebrews, Melchizedek. He suddenly appears out of nowhere. He's not mentioned in the other kings. Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace, king of Jerusalem. Huh? Who is he? He's priest of God Most High. What? No one's even mentioned that in the Bible yet. What's that? He brings out bread and wine. Who do you think it might be? It's Jesus. It's definitely Jesus. It says he has no ancestry. It says in Hebrews, there's no ancestry mentioned. He's come from nowhere. His days are eternal. It's the Son of God. Jesus appears on the battlefield. When you spend your wealth serving God, Jesus comes to you to bless you. He brings blessing to Abraham. Bread, wine, blessing. Abraham's immediate response is to give him 10% of everything. Of all his own wealth. He's not giving him 10% of this stuff he's got back. You read, he didn't touch that. He gave that back to the king of Sodom. He gave him 10% of his own. You know, some people say tithing is all to do with the Old Testament and the law and all that. Actually, it's pre-law. Giving a percent of your money to God is right. Is right. Whatever you think about percentages. And you know what? I think you're hard pushed to teach tithing from the New Testament. You are. That's why I don't personally teach it as something to do. Otherwise, I would teach you that. I'd teach you it because it was right. But I tell you something. Here's what is a fact. Tithing was the minimum. The minimum expectation of anyone who followed God. That's the Old Testament. You can't teach it in the New Testament because they gave way beyond 10%. They were selling their fields, sharing their houses, giving everything. Giving everything. I mean, when Jesus said to that young man, sorry, it's either that or you can't follow me, mate. He said, then I can't follow you. Okay, then. He walked away sad. And the apostles said to Jesus, he was a really good guy. We've given up everything to follow you, because they had. And he said to them, listen, because he's saying it to you as well, no one has given up anything for me and for the gospel who will not receive 100 times as much. Wow. Oh, you mean in heaven? No, in this life. With trouble and in the world to come, eternal life. Wow, that is a sentence for you to think about. Anything you give up for Jesus Christ, anything, he says, in this life, I'll give you back 100 times that. With trouble in this life, with battle. You're in a battle till you get to heaven, you are. And in the world to come, eternal life. Let me tell you something. Whatever you give to Jesus matters. It's never forgotten. And it's never wasted. Do you know that? There was a woman who came to Jesus one day. She poured out all her perfume on his feet, all her wealth of her whole life, all her brokenness, all the mess of her life was in that money. And it all went out on her feet. And some of the apostles, well, it was Judas actually, said, what a waste. Jesus said, wrong, not a waste. Whatever she's done for me will be told everywhere around the world. She's done a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to give your wealth to Jesus Christ. A beautiful thing. What a waste. It's not a waste. No penny, no pound, no thousand, no million. Because I know there's several millionaires here this morning on the front row. No million that you give to God will ever be wasted or forgotten. Never. It is remembered and it is never wasted if it's on the feet of Jesus. It's used by God. That's a fact. So here's three practical things. How can you put God first in your money? Well, honor the poor. Honor the poor. That means respect people you consider to have less money than you. They might have less money than you. They might not be poor in God's estimation. As I've travelled the world in Africa, India and all these places, I've met many people who are far more wealthy than me who don't have any money. But they're rich in faith, in the Holy Spirit, in wisdom, in power. When God first told us to live by faith, I went to Uganda. I'd left my job in the Oakwood Centre. And I went to Uganda on a trip to step in for someone else. But before I went, someone had a word with me and said, "Oh, when you're in Africa, look out for people asking you for money. They're bound to ask you for some money." And I thought, well, it's no problem because I haven't got any. I literally don't have any money. I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage at the end of the month. It's my first month. I have no money and no work. So I thought, no problem. I did a preach in this church out in the middle of nowhere, a couple of hundred people. And at the end of it, there was lots of people to pray for. But as I was literally walking out the door, this old man was waiting for me. And he said, "Thank you, brother. Very good. Can I talk to you about money?" I thought, oh, here it is. He said, "I hope you're not offended." I said, "No, you're all right, I won't be." He said, "But the Lord told me to give you this 1,000 Ugandan shillings because I think you might need it. It's worth about 25 pence. It's worth a lot more than that to me." I got hold of it. I said, "Thank you. Thank you, brother. I do need it. What I really need is to know that God's going to provide for me through any way he wants. Never look to rich people, brothers and sisters. What a deception that is. Christians or not, look to God. Because I found in 6 years of living by faith that God provided for us through the poor, actually. Amazingly. Through people who you'd think didn't have the money, but they had the money because they had the kingdom and they could access it and they didn't even keep it for themselves. They gave it to us. Honor the poor. The Bible says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. Do you think it might be financially wise for you to lend to the Lord? Oh, yes. Yes. If you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Number one, honor the poor. Number two, honor ministry. Honor ministry. That means make sure you give your tithes and offerings to the church here. Honor the ministry. Honour us as your leaders. Honour the word of God. Honour what we represent. Honour ministry. When people come and preach here, we pay them, we bless them well. We're utterly determined to do that. Why? Because it's what they represent. If they're preaching the gospel, they represent the gospel. And if you sow to the gospel, you get back more gospel. If you honour ministry, you get ministry. Never have a stingy attitude to the church or the ministers of God. The New Testament teaches that over and over again. And I'm not saying this for my benefit. I'm saying it for your benefit, so you're blessed, and for the benefit of this movement, so that we're wealthy. We need to be wealthy. I want us to be one of the wealthiest churches in Europe. I want us to be the church that builds the orphanages and the schools and the universities and sends out millions of pounds to those who need it. And we need to be trustworthy to be able to do that. You are part of this. Your own personal faith journey is part of this. I can't make that journey for you. You have to do that with God. If you want to, if you can. If you want to, let go of your wealth. If you want to, be content with what you have. And honor, put God first with your money by honoring the poor, honoring ministry, and honoring your parents. That's what the Ten Commandments says. Honor your father and your mother. And that means financially. That means financially. Listen, young ones, as soon as you can work, bless your parents. Bless them and you'll be blessed. If you want to be blessed by God, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for this. Because the Pharisees made that little law that if you give all your money to us... there's a special little law now where you don't have to give anything to your parents. Jesus said you've cut out the word of God. And the word of God says, honor your father and mother. If you, whatever situation your father and mother's in today, forgive them. That honors them. Bless them. Pray for them. Look after them. Care for them. Feed them. And you'll be blessed. It's the only commandment with a promise. And the promise is this. You live a long life and life will go well with you. That's what it says in the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, and you live a long life, and it'll go well with you. Do you know what? In 30 years of ministry, I have observed this a few times. I've seen some people, I think, do you know what? Life just goes well for them. Things go very well for them. And the people who do that honor their father and mother, usually. They have a very honoring, caring relationship. They look after them. They bless them. They listen to them. They communicate with them. If you want to be blessed financially, he's got to put God first with your money. Honor your father and mother. It pleases God. Honor ministry. And honor the poor. We've got time for one last little story. We're just reading about Yonge Chow's church recently, as you probably know, because I'm telling you a lot of stories from it. When Yonge Chow first started his ministry, they were incredibly poor, and he had a tent, an old marine tent, and he was living in a slum in Seoul, in Korea. And he came out of Pentecostal Bible school, and he was going around these shacks and houses telling people to come to church and come to know Jesus. He came to this lady's house. He said, I want you to come to church, come to know Jesus. She said, why should I? Why should I? He said, because if you don't, you'll go to hell. She laughed. She said, you think I care about dying? She said, I live in hell now. Come and have a look. She took him into this one room. The whole family lived in one room. She had 9 sons. She said, you want it? She was screaming at him, angry. She said, you want to see hell? She said, my husband is an alcoholic. For 10 years he's been an alcoholic. And my sons are out on the streets now, pickpocketing to survive. And they come back here, and every penny that they get, he drinks. You want to see hell? You think I'm afraid of hell? And he was shaking. She said, is it hell? He said, yeah, this is hell. He said he went back to his tent thoroughly converted. He was convinced. She absolutely converted him. He believed. He thought, that's absolute hell. Why should she fear hell and want to go to heaven and want to know God? Her life is an absolute mess. And he got on his knees and started to read the Gospels and cry out to God. And he saw in the Gospels that Jesus didn't just talk about hell all the time. He did. But he healed people. He delivered people of demons. He fed the hungry. He met people's needs. And he had a revelation. He went back to this woman's house. She couldn't believe he was back. She said, you're back. He said, yes. He said, I want you to believe in Jesus and come to church. She said, what for? He said, because would you like to see your husband delivered of that demon? So he's not an alcoholic? She said, yes. Would you like to see your sons working and this house blessed? And you have a different house? Yes. Would you like to be healed of that sickness? She was ill herself. She said, yes. He said, well, follow me. And he took her back across the paddy fields to his tent, his tent church. And she looked at the tent and she opened it up. She started laughing again. She went, you're as poor as me. You've got nothing. He said, you're right. I haven't got nothing. We both need Jesus as much as each other. So let's start, because this is what the Bible says. That was his start of his prayer meeting, him and her. They prayed for 3 months, every day, 3 months, every day, for a husband to be delivered of this demon of alcohol. He'd come in the back of the tent and laugh at them. Ah, since you started praying for me, I love the taste of alcohol. Even more, it's delicious. Thank you for praying for me. Mocking them. But they just kept praying. At the end of 3 months, he was called to their home because he was dying, this guy. And he prayed for him on the floor. He was delivered of the demon, completely delivered of alcoholism. Got up, became a sober man. People in the community realized he was sober. She was amazed. She couldn't believe it. Then he got a job. And he came back and he brought his first bag of rice and money back to her. And Yonge Chow said to her, now you know what to do, don't you? Honor God with the first fruits of your wealth. That's what the Bible teaches. So this will keep flowing to you. And she struggled. She said, I've got 9 children to feed. I've got this first bit of money in my life. Why should I give it? She had a struggle. She was fighting herself. She was fighting the spirit of poverty and the fear of money and the love of money. She had to break through it. Yong Yi Chow said she put the rice, a portion of the rice, to take to church. And then she changed her mind and poured it back. And she put the rice, and she was crying, and she put it back. Eventually, the church bell started ringing Sunday morning. She finally got this breakthrough and took a little bit of the money and some of the rice, and she was crying all the way across the paddy fields and dropped the rice and Mick put it all together with some mud and rice. He said it was the muddiest offering you've ever seen. But she came to the front and offered it. He said, "Well done, sister, well done." And God blessed them and blessed them. They got a loan off the government. They bought a beautiful piece of land. They built a fantastic house, the house of their dreams. All of their sons were able to go to school and were educated. God blessed them and blessed them and blessed them. They were in his church till they went to heaven. And three of her sons are full-time pastors today. You see, he could have just given money, couldn't he? He said he had the opportunity to get money off American missionaries and just give us some money. But would money have helped her? No. People don't need money. They need the kingdom of God. They need the treasure in the field. They need Jesus. They need God first in their life. Because if you get that, you get money as well. But what she had was a lot more than money. Or she got the money, but she had peace. She was physically healed. She had joy in her marriage. Her children served the Lord. Hey, that's the blessing of God. Not just money. That's what you want. That's what you need. That's what I need. You need that. Yong Yi Chow said, it's his boast nowadays. I mean, he's got the biggest church in the world, like, so you can boast a bit. It's his boast nowadays. He said, I have over 50,000 millionaires in our church. Over 50,000 millionaires. And every one of them came to our church a pauper. Do you want to be blessed? Stand to your feet. Open your hands. Look to God right now. Let God set you free from your wealth. Fill you with thankfulness so that you can receive his wealth and his blessing. Lord, right now, we repent of the idol of money, of fearing it, of letting it dictate to us what we do, what we don't do. We reject the fear of money and the love of money, that greed, that covetousness. Forgive us, Lord. We repent right now. Take it from us. Wash it from us in the blood of Jesus. You are our God. We want no false God and no idol. We want the living God in our lives, in our homes, in our bank account, in our marriages, in our families. You, Lord, you, Holy Spirit, as number one in everything. Lord, we want to honor you with our wealth, in our tithes and offerings. Lord, the Bible says first, not at the end of the week, but on the first day of the week, put aside what you're going to give to God. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your wealth, it says, and then your barns will overflow. That's what the Old Testament taught. Lord, I just pray right now for a total financial miracle and breakthrough for every person here. I pray that you would bless every business here, every businessman, every businesswoman, every young person who's going to get visions and dreams and ideas. Bless them now with a mighty blessing from heaven. Every person struggling, every person feeling like they have to live on the pension, it's not enough. Lord, bless them now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would let the blessing of Abraham through Jesus Christ come unto us, that all the riches of Christ would be ours, that wealth and wisdom and love and power would be ours, and would use it for the glory of God, and would be free. Free as little birds, not to worry about money, not to fear it, not to worship it, but to just do what you tell us to do every day. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we receive you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Give someone a hug. Bless you. We're done. Thank you for waiting so long.